Ends next Monday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. One person is dead and another is seriously injured after a wreck Sunday night. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office says the wreck happened just before 7 o'clock last night on Gardner Road off Highway 94. The cause of the wreck is under investigation. Happening tonight, the River Region Young Democrats are holding a town hall for the candidates for Montgomery Mayor. Stephen Reed and David Woods are now in a runoff. That runoff election is October 8th. And Montgomery's Booker T. Washington Magnet High School could soon have a new home. The school burned down more than a year ago. MPS officials say they have submitted an offer to buy the former Holy Cross Episcopal School, which closed in June. If approved, that sale would then go before the MPS board for final approval. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
News Talk 93.1 on the Midway at the Alabama National Fair, October 4th through the 14th. Win free prizes. Meet the on-air personalities. See you at the Alabama National Fair, where News Talk 93.1.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Nearly 50,000 General Motors workers at 31 plants across the country will walk off the job.
This strike is about us. It is about standing up for fair wages.
Facing allegations of rape, Antonio Brown made his Patriots debut.
Oil markets, they are already spiking double digits after that drone attack on a Saudi Arabian oil field.
Supreme Court Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh surrounding allegations that he denies of drunken sexual misconduct as a student in the 1980s.
In New Jersey, a terrifying scene after multiple decks on a home collapsed, injuring 21 people.
Coming in number one was It.
It too.
Yes.
Again.
There you go.
For a second time.
Made another $40.7 million.
It's a drop-off, but that's a strong second week.
I guess all of us have had the experience of getting into a discussion and coming up with the right answer 2 hours later when we're all alone. I'll be right back. My award for someone who thought of the right answer while the discussion was still going on is a young man named Brad Lanaweaver, a member of Young Americans for Freedom at Pennsylvania State University. He has written of an encounter on the campus with a pretty young lady who believes socialism is the answer to our problems. His own philosophy was self-evident because he was wearing a button that proclaimed, "Cut down big government." With the cool breeze stirring her hair, she asked what Brad described as her ace-up-the-sleeve question. Even you right-wingers don't want to starve. Wouldn't you like a guarantee that you won't ever go hungry? Brad knew that if he admitted to this, she'd follow with, "So why not such a guarantee for shelter, medicine, and all the rest?" He paused, and then gave her the victory she was seeking. Or so she thought. He said, "Sure, I'd like to lay my hands on everything I can get." "Oh," she said, "but the state is the closest you can come to such a guarantee." Brad described her as braced for a counterattack involving the magic of the market mechanism. But he threw another curve. "Sure," he said, "I grant that. There's something more. I'd like a guarantee of shelter and medical treatment and even some recreation." She must have thought she had a convert. A little shocked, she spoke, "But that's what we support. Why are you wearing that button?" She meant, of course, that cut-down big government button. Brad wasn't finished. He said to her, I would also like a yacht. Somewhat defeated, she answered, well, if you're not going to be serious about it. But I am, Brad said as earnestly as he could. I would really and truly like a yacht. Also a seaside villa. Look, she said sternly, you know what I'm talking about. Sharing. I'm not interested in your greedy daydreams. I'm asking what everyone should have. All right, Brad answered, I understand. Let everyone have a yacht. But how, she asked lucidly with the first sign of a rational thought. Don't bother me with that, he said. There'll be a way, I'm sure. Just so everyone has a yacht. However, there is one more thing I would like. What, she asked. Two yachts. Brad wrote that she looked rather unpleasant at that point, and he feared for his safety. Then she declared, it's people like you who keep socialism from working. And Brad agreed. Yes, quite right. Perhaps if people like me were put away somewhere, socialism would have a chance. By now she was really glaring as she tried to think of an answer. Brad continued, but there's still one problem. How many are there, like me? Well, not as many as you think, she said, and walked away. And then Brad came up with a really appropriate last line. He wrote, there she's wrong, and that's why she's a socialist. How right he is. Socialists ignore the side of man that is of the spirit. They can provide shelter, fill your belly with bacon and beans, treat you when you're ill, all the things that are guaranteed to a prisoner or a slave. They don't understand that we also dream. Yes, even of sometime owning a yacht. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. News on 93.1 FM. Dan Morris Show on a Monday. Starting your week out right. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself. The one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
Stock market is down 138 points. Not too bad. Temperature outside is 94 degrees. A program you know will have Dr. David Sorensen calling in about 5 minutes about the Saudi attack that happened to the oil terminal. And we got a lot of stuff going on. We have the Brett Kavanaugh story that's kind of imploded in New York Times' face.
Yeah, just a bit.
I tell you, these guys, we got it from a whole bunch of different people's angles here, so we'll be doing that. Let's start out with the Saudi oil terminal attacked by Iran.
Militants who say they targeted critical Saudi Arabian oil facilities in a drone strike are threatening more attacks. The Trump administration blames Iran for the strike that damaged one of the Saudis' most important oil export sites. Iran calls that claim meaningless. The attack cut the world's oil supply by about 5%, and the market price of crude oil jumped nearly 20% before falling back. Weijia Zhang is at the White House. Weijia, good morning. How is President Trump responding?
President Trump says the U.S. has reason to believe they know exactly who is behind the attacks and is, quote, locked and loaded. But he also says that he's waiting to hear who the Saudis blame before deciding how to move forward. His top diplomat is using much stronger language, pointing the finger directly at Iran.
Vice President Mike Pence, Defense Secretary Mark Esper, and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo left the White House Sunday evening as tension between the U.S. and Iran barrels toward a boiling point.
Okay, some additional news to that is Saudi Arabia has said that it came from Iran.
Right, the direction of the drones and whatnot is what they're thinking?
Yeah, well, we're going to ask Dr. Sorensen about the technology gap between Houthis and Iran. And
that's what wasn't clear to me from press reports, so I'm looking forward to hear what David Sorensen has to say.
He's always great at this. Let's listen to the second part of the story.
Satellite images show thick black smoke billowing from the Aramco oil facility in Abqaiq, one of the Saudi oil plants attacked in apparent drone strikes. CBS News has learned there were 19 points of impact damaging 17 structures at the site. Saudi officials indicated cruise missiles were used. Yemen's Houthi rebels, who are fighting a civil war against the Saudi-backed government, took responsibility for the attack. But Pompeo declared there is no proof to support the claim and swiftly blamed Iran. On Saturday, he tweeted, "Iran has now launched an unprecedented attack on the world's energy supply." Iran dismissed Pompeo's accusations as fruitless and blind. Its foreign minister tweeted, "Having failed at max pressure, Secretary Pompeo's turning to max deceit." Before the attack, President Trump said he might meet with his Iranian counterpart at the United Nations General Assembly next week.
It could happen. It could happen.
Pompeo went a step further.
The president's made very clear he's prepared to meet with no preconditions.
But yesterday, President Trump contradicted that on Twitter, writing, "The fake news is saying that I am willing to meet with Iran. No conditions. That is an incorrect statement, as usual."
Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney says the U.S. should deny visas to Iranian delegates planning to attend the UN gathering. The White House has not indicated if President Trump plans to do that, but he would not be the first. Gail, Presidents Obama and Reagan have denied visas to Iranian diplomats.
News Channel 93.1, Dan Moore Show on a Monday, going to be back. Hopefully with Dr. Sorensen right after this. Quick break.
Talk 93.1 FM.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping, or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Quiet, smooth ride, spacious cabin, impressive technology, and plenty of storage. That's the new 2019 Ram truck at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. I'm Dick Brubaker, and this month only during Ram Power Days, you can save over $10,000 on select new 2019 Ram trucks and make no payment for 90 days. Over $10,000 in savings and no payments for 90 days at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Equipped with the nicest interior of any American vehicle today, the new 2019 Ram 1500 works great as a luxury vehicle or as a work truck. It has more towing capacity, more rear seat space, and luxury comfort. Ram Power Days brings savings over $10,000 and no payment for 90 days at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Plus tax, tag, title, and fees. Must finance through Grow Financial with approved credit. Stock number R9154. See dealer for complete details. Offer expires September 30th, 2019.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show. Noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV. It's a sunny day.
272-9228, that's where we are. Guys, when we have something that goes on in the Middle East, who do we call? We call the professor himself, Dr. David Sorensen, Middle East expert, Air War College. Dr. Sorensen, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan.
I have got so many questions. Let's start out with, Saudi has said that this was not the Houthis, that this was Iran. How good is Saudi intelligence?
To be candid, it's not all that good. It's okay. Good inside, but it's not particularly good outside of Saudi Arabia. I've seen their claims, and they seem to be based on pieces that they claim they found in some of the drones that were fired towards this oil facility. They may or may not have come from Iran. They could be electrical components. But other than that, I haven't seen anything definitive from Saudi Arabia that convinces me that it was Iran. I would argue we still aren't sure.
Do the Houthis have that type of technology? Because that's a long way from Yemen.
They do. It is a long way. The Houthi have surprised us time and time again with their capacity. This is a semi-Shia group that lives in the mountains of northern Yemen. One would think they would be pretty primitive. But they have been able to build drones from off-the-shelf parts that have attacked Saudi Arabian and UAE facilities before, over shorter distances, to be sure. So the question is, can they extend an attack over what is essentially 620 to 1,000 miles, depending on how one measures it? And the answer is yes. They have drones that are capable of about 1,500 kilometers, which is quite advanced and takes a lot of technology to do it, but they have been able to do it. I found a couple of entrepreneurs in Texas who have actually tested drones with a 50-pound payload, and they've flown it over 1,000 miles. So it's not, and that was in 2014. So it's not only technically possible, but it would appear that the Houthis do have that kind of technology, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if, in fact, this was these were their drones.
How do they do the telemetry if they don't have satellites?
Well, what they can do is use GPS. You know, every car has a GPS locator. And so you can get a GPS locator from a variety of sources. They're not that big, and they're not that heavy to figure out and program. You know, give it to a 15-year-old kid, and they'll figure it out.
Of course.
So that's how we do it. It's not easy, but again, there's all kinds of ways to do it without having your own satellite. You can simply beam up to our GPS system as one would an automobile or an aircraft and install that kind of technology in a drone. The other problem is the propulsion. It takes a lot of fuel to fly that range, but the lighter you make them, the smaller the motor. It is possible. Again, we've seen several cases where drones have actually been able to achieve those kinds of ranges.
Let's now talk about Israel and our intelligence service. Would Israel have been aware of this, and would we have seen this as a launch and coming in through AWACS or anything else?
It's hard to say, and I need to be at the unclassified level.
Okay.
Which is all I'm doing. I avoid the classified stuff. I was in Israel last March. We talked to them about what they focus on, and what they tend to focus on primarily is Lebanon. They look at the Hezbollah militia in Lebanon. They look in the West Bank. They look off their coast. They look into Gaza. They tend to pay less attention to things happening far away from Israel. So my sense is that they might not have been able to see this. Whether or not we could have picked it up is sensitive. The problem with drones is they're very small. They fly very close to the ground, which means they mix in with what we call ground clutter. It's the kind of stuff you see in your weather radar when there's just a lot of junk out there bouncing off buildings and trees. So drones are not impossible to pick up. But it really helps if you know where they're coming from. It really helps if you know where they're going. And if you don't, it really is it's a tough search. It's a bit like a snipe hunt. It's very hard to know if you don't know exactly where they're coming from.
How would they target the terminals? Because they had 17 out of 19 hits, and I mean, it did some pretty substantial damage. How would they do targeting on that?
Well, again, you can use GPS. You can take an image of these facilities, which are absolutely massive. You can scale it down, and then you just program those coordinates into the GPS locator. Once you've oriented it from where you're firing it, it can be pretty accurate. Again, it's like your car. If you want to go to a place, 1,000 miles away, just put it in. I tried that, by the way. I put in these facilities at the Saudi city of Abqaiqan, and actually it could program my car to drive there. It would have taken 10 hours, and I'd have to cross the ocean. But you actually can do it. You can actually program in and put the coordinates in, and you can get it down to those individual tanks. The tanks they hit, and they've hit some of the processing stuff. But it's not all that complicated, given the advances in GPS technology that we have.
What do you think we would need to have to know for a fact that it was Iran? And what type of recourse do you think the U.S. will do?
Well, here's the thing. So far, I haven't seen anything that shows a launch point, neither from Saudi Arabia nor from the United States. So until we know with better detail where they were actually launched, it's awfully hard to pinpoint them on Iran. A moment on how hard that is.
Please.
As you know, we had three tankers attacked recently in either the Arabian or Persian Gulf or in the straits, near the Straits of Hormuz. The only evidence we had of Iranian involvement was a video purporting to show Iranian Republican Guard units removing a limpet mine from one of the tankers that had already been hit. But we still don't know where the mines came from. We also know that at least one tanker was hit with missiles. We still don't know exactly where those missiles came from. They could have come from Yemen. They could have come from Iraq. They could have come from Iran. It's awfully hard to pinpoint these things. Part of the problem is they go very fast. They're really quite small. And unless you have really, really good radar and you're looking, it's very hard to pick them out. So we already have a number of unattributed attacks where we've had the time to sift through the information and try to figure out where they came from. And so far, it's been a real challenge. So if you're not looking in that particular area, and again, these guys fire at a time and place of their choosing, and you don't have a lot of very high-powered radar and other mechanisms for surveillance, it's very, very hard to actually determine where they came from. The second piece is the parts. And again, we know that Iran has been supporting the al-Houthi, although it's been limited. But we believe that the al-Houthi are getting most of their stuff from either the black market or they're getting it from the Yemeni military. And that the Iranian contribution to their arsenal has actually been fairly small. And the reason for that is that Iran has no reason strategically to want to pick a fight with Saudi Arabia in Saudi Arabia's backyard, because Saudi Arabia overwhelms Iran on its own just on military capacity.
Do you see us giving some type of defense alert system to try to prevent this? Because this has happened now, what, five times?
It has happened at least five times. The Houthi have attacked several airports, commercial airports, in southern Saudi Arabia. And again, it hasn't been nearly as long as this attack. But we did get some indication. We have given Saudi Arabia Patriot missiles. And as someone who was in on the ground floor of developing the Patriot missiles in the very, very early 80s, a proud parenthood, I have to say that they just don't work all that well against a small drone flying at very low altitude. They work much better against a ballistic missile or an aircraft. And Saudi Arabia has tried to intercept some of the missiles. The Houthi have ballistic missiles, too, and they've fired them into Saudi Arabia. And as far as we know, the Patriots have not really worked. The problem with the drone is that, again, they're very small, they fly low, they mix in with the ground. And so you really need to have a combination layered surveillance system in order to detect them. And again, you need to kind of have a sense of when they're going to be launched, where they're going to be launched from. At least a range. Give me 100 square kilometers, and I can probably be able to watch that. But again, Yemen is a big place. The Houthi control more than half of it. They control most of the western side of Yemen. And so they can watch stuff from a wide area in Yemen. And it makes it, again, very hard for us to kind of know where it's coming from and where it's going to go. We can do better. I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will develop some kind of better detection systems. But again, drones are like cruise missiles, and they're a real nuisance. They're very, very small. It's surprising how small these things can be, given their impact.
Is there any chance that that this is some type of fraud from Saudi Arabia, that they are creating the illusion or doing this to themselves?
Well, in my kind of push it out a little bit and be really creative, sure. Because look what happened. The oil price has already gone up by about 5%. Now, it may go back down again, but it does a couple of things. You get oil prices up, and it also gets the focus on Iran. Now, Saudi Arabia has had its own public relations problems, including the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist, and the arrest of dissenters, the continuing capital punishment of critics of the regime. And so one could argue that this is a bit of wag the dog. I don't think they would do that. But again, you have to consider every possibility in these kinds of situations. So it's not impossible that this wasn't something done by Saudi Arabia, or it's something done by a dissident prince. The current crown prince and his father have made an awful lot of enemies. They've arrested a lot of members of the royal family. And it's not impossible to think that somebody in the military who is allied with one of the dissident princes may have done this in order to stir up trouble. Or it's an opportunity to, again, point the finger at Iran and justify an attack.
What type of response do you think the U.S. will have here?
I think that President Trump is going to be careful. And even though he has talked about being locked and loaded, I find it interesting and I think significant that he's been very careful when it comes to actually ordering a kinetic strike. We go back to the two times when the Syrian regime used chemical weapons on dissidents in Syria, inflicting lots of casualties. The president attacked a couple of military bases. He blew up some old airplanes. He hit some buildings. As far as I know, he killed very, very few people. And he indicated a real unwillingness to do that. And then more recently, when the Global Hawk was shot down, the president threatened to attack Iran, and then he claimed that 10 minutes before the attack, he was told that 150 or so Iranians would die in it. He called it off. Got a watershed blood. One of the most awesome responsibilities that any president has is the ability to kill people. Sometimes you have to do it. But I find it interesting that the president, despite some of the harsh rhetoric, seems to be cautious about actually ordering a strike. My expectation is that he is going to go to the military. He's going to go to those in the intelligence community he trusts. He's especially going to go to Secretary Pompeo, who's a known Iranian hawk, and say, give me all your best evidence before we do something, because here's the issue. The moment you fire something back, you start a chain of escalation that neither side can control very easily once it gets going, because you have to retaliate, and then you retaliate for retaliation, and it just spins up out of control. If that happens, the result for the world economy could be calamitous. We've seen a loss of 5% of the world's oil, at least temporarily, because of this attack. If Iran and Saudi Arabia begin to exchange missiles and aircraft strikes across the Arabian or Persian Gulf, that could go to 20%, it could go to 30%, and when one thinks of all of the countries that consume oil in the world, we could see a very severe economic disruption from just a few days of strikes. So I think the president is properly being cautious. I think the president has indicated that we need to get more information. It's also important to note that official spokespersons for the Saudi Arabian Foreign Ministry have said we need to be careful. Let's not be hasty to rush in and attack. And we've heard that also from the United Arab Emirates and from Britain. So I think all sides understand that we're, in a sense, looking into a precipice that could run very badly for all of us if this gets out of hand.
Is this going to be a go it alone, or do you think that the president can bring in other allies and have it as a joint strike?
I suspect that if the president orders a strike and the evidence is good enough, Saudi Arabia may join in. And we do practice Saudi Arabian forces. It may also be that the UAE could get involved, although they have been retreating from the campaign against the Houthi. They've been more willing to talk to Iran. So I think that if we get involved, Saudi Arabia might go. I don't think the other GCC countries would. I don't see Kuwait getting involved. I don't see Bahrain getting involved. Qatar would not get involved.
Jordan?
No, I don't think Jordan would. Jordan and Saudi Arabia have had some interesting differences, even though they're kind of members of the same Arab Monarchs Club. I think Jordan would be very, very careful because, again, once this starts, Jordan is not that far away from countries with a Shia population, particularly including the Shia in Iraq. So I think the Jordanians understand that this is the time to be careful because, again, Jordan has a very professional, modern Air Force, very high-quality military, but it's also fairly small. And I think the Jordanians would see themselves as very quickly getting caught up into a conflict that they might not be able to manage.
We have a lot of troops in the area. We have them in Riyadh. We have them in UAE. Of course, in Afghanistan, which is next door to Iran. I mean, that's a lot of exposure on our part if they have, because they have missile capabilities that can reach those troops.
Absolutely. The Iranians do have missile capabilities, and even though they don't have nuclear weapons on them, they do have conventional warheads. They have tested long-range missiles. And I think if conflict started, we would see those missiles go off pretty early in order to try to catch U.S. forces on the ground. So again, you're right. We have large-scale forces in UAE and in Qatar. We've been building back up our forces in Saudi Arabia. We have them in Afghanistan. We have them in Turkey, which is also under Iranian missile range. Turkey is also borders Iran. So, there certainly could be U.S. troop casualties and a loss of some very expensive equipment if this gets out of hand.
Dr. Sorensen, as always, I want to thank you so much for calling in today. You're great to have as a resource for us, and I really appreciate your insight.
Well, Dan, I appreciate you bringing these things to the attention of the River Region because, again, we're going to see oil prices go up, and this is not just a local conflict. This could very much affect the United States. So I appreciate you calling attention to these kinds of issues for our area. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sorensen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Sorensen, Middle East expert, Air War College here in Montgomery. We're going to be back right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
If you're like me, you probably have a couple of shoeboxes full of old home movies or VHS tapes your dad took when you were a kid, right? And you've been wanting to convert them to DVD to preserve them, but don't want to ship them off to an out-of-town company. Well, you don't have to. Dan Black Studios here in Montgomery can convert them for you in their facility. Dan Black's been in business for over 35 years, and he does a great job at an affordable price. Call Dan Black today at 334-279-6036.
News, I'm Lillian Wu. Heated words from the U.S. as the price of oil spikes following an attack on Saudi facilities. Iranian-backed Houthi militia in Yemen claiming responsibility.
Now, Secretary of State Pompeo certainly pointing fingers directly at Iran, saying there is no evidence that the attack was launched from Yemen. Pompeo tweeting, "We call on all nations to publicly and unequivocally condemn Iran's attacks."
Fox's John Roberts.
Some Democrats suggesting this morning that a retaliatory military strike against Iran may be in the cards. But Utah Senator Mitt Romney this morning tweeting, quote, "Direct engagement by U.S. military in response to Iran's attacks on Saudi oil infrastructure would be a grave mistake."
A first in the fight against the measles outbreak, which started last October, health officials saying there were no new cases recorded in the U.S. last week. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, this is Danny with High Caliber Gun and Pawn. November, we'll be celebrating 10 years doing business in the River Region, and Blue Water Broadcasting has been an integral part of that 10 years. High Caliber Gun and Pawn, we say we are a step above the rest, and Blue Water Broadcasting definitely is that step.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Alabama Wholesale Lumber. Alabama Wholesale Lumber, serving the River Region with the best quality building materials for decades. Contractor to do-it-yourselfer. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. I wish I had better news for you, but the hot weather continues and still no sign of rain for the next several days. Today, very hot with a high temperature up to about 98. Heat index will be into triple digits again. Tomorrow and Wednesday, still hot, still dry. High temperatures near 100 both days. Not quite as hot Thursday and Friday with temperatures around 93 for a high, but still dry. Fall officially begins next Monday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That I'd come running to you in the air. I thought that...
272-9228, that's where we are. I want to thank Dr. David Sorensen for calling in today. Boy, Joey, we're very fortunate to have a resource like Dr. Sorensen here in Montgomery.
We really are. I mentioned to him off air that I was trying to do a lot of work just looking at all sorts of press reports. I even went to watch a 20-minute segment on Al Jazeera to see what, you know, that part of the world was saying about it. And we didn't get as much detail as Dr. Sorensen gave us. He is a huge resource.
He really is. What I like is he's very honest with it. You know, we don't know. It could be the Houthis,
right?
And talking about the reaction to Iran may have to our U.S. military forces that are over in places like Afghanistan, Riyadh, UAE, places like that. And I mean, this could escalate pretty fast.
It's not the same thing as, you know, pushing Saddam back like in the early 90s, not the same thing as, like, you know, 2004. It is a much different thing than even Afghanistan. They're better prepared, and just generally they could hurt the region a whole more.
Well, it was so obvious of what Saddam Hussein did. I mean, he invaded another country.
Right.
And when you do that, then you get into that World War II kind of mix there. And then it's easy to get 50 other countries to be with you then.
Well, and I mentioned to you off air when Dr. Sorensen mentioned that we're not really sure who planted some of those mines in the Strait of Hormuz, even to this day. It got me wondering, could be the Houthis, could be or the Iranians, but it could be maybe like a terrorist group. And I think ISIS, Al-Qaeda, whatever remnant or name you want to give them, could benefit greatly from major conflict across the region.
Well, and what the important thing is that we need to know the answer. We need to know the answer, and we need to make sure we have the right answer, because if you don't have the right answer, you could have a serious mishap here. He mentioned that oil prices are going up. Let's listen to the Saudi attack, how it's going to affect gas prices.
The attack on Saudi Arabia's largest oil facility is sure to have a ripple effect on drivers here in this country. Chris Van Cleve is at a gas station in Washington, D.C. Chris, what can we expect to see at the gas pump today? I see the price behind you, $2.68, paying cash.
Prices are likely to go up. What we won't see is fuel shortages, disruptions to supply here, but you will see signs like that one ticking up in the coming days as it will cost Americans more to fill their tanks. Now, one fuel price expert tells CBS this morning he expects the jump will be between 10 and 25 cents per gallon. He calls the increase, quote, annoying but not likely to change consumer behavior. Now, heading into the weekend, the national average for a gallon of gas had been steadily dropping with the end of the summer travel season. Yesterday, the average price was $2.56 a gallon, down 15 cents from July. Now, how long the spike in gas prices will last, that depends on how fast the Saudis can restore production. And at this point, we don't really have estimates on how long those repairs will take. We know that some of the capacity that's offline is expected to come back sometime this week, but gas price experts tell us the longer this drags on, the longer this disruption goes on, the higher prices are likely to go.
In the futures market, when I woke up this morning, crude oil prices went up 20%. Then right now it's sitting at about 8% up in cost. Let's go to Red Top. Red Top, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Dan, Joey, fellas, let's talk about the important shortages in the world.
Gouda cheese.
How did you know? you were out there just before me Saturday, and I had a feeling this was going to happen sooner or later. I sit there and gloat about how wonderful it is. I knew damn well I was going to come out there sooner or later. They're going to be wiped out.
I know. That's why I always say to people, I got to stop talking about a particular item I like because then people come in and buy it.
Yeah, but you got to admit, man, this last batch of red bell peppers, God, look nice. The lady at the cash register, she's so nice. She said, well, you just missed Dan. He got red bell peppers, too.
There you go. Yep.
And I found out something. You know, if you have sinus trouble, if your nose is stopped up from dust and all that, I get all the time. Last night, I took one bite out of that red bell pepper. My sinuses opened up and cleared up right away. I had no more sinus trouble.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so the hell with the Neosporin. Just get you a red bell pepper. It's better for you anyway.
Or neti pot.
Yes. And I'm stunned, Dan. I said this on Joey's show. I don't want to be repetitious, but damnation, if this don't make all other defenses obsolete, then you get a $10,000 drone and go interrupt a large percentage of the world's oil supply. Why can't they do that to every damn power plant in the United States and nobody would ever see it?
Yeah, and it's not $10,000. It's cheaper than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is scary, and this is obviously something everybody's been in high ups have been aware was just waiting to happen, wouldn't you say?
Well, and it's like I mentioned, Dr. Sorensen. You know, I counted five. He said there were at least five, but they did the airport. They've done three terminals that are there. I mean, this is. You know, somebody's got to figure something out here because if you keep letting them do this and just rip the oil supply for the world, that's pretty strong.
Well, and it's take even a high figure that these drones only got like $20,000 a drone. What, you spend $200,000, you can disrupt a trillions. I don't know what the market cap is on the oil market, but my goodness, talk about a imbalance to the cost.
This. I mean, what do you need missile systems for at all? If all you got to do is send out a bunch of cheap damn drones to destroy things, America is so vulnerable on the infrastructure. It is scary, guys. You could put out any town, any time, anywhere, any time of day with something like this, and we wouldn't have a damn backup for it. I know in Montgomery we wouldn't. Maybe the Air Force bases would, but the population wouldn't have any defense for this. So, gosh, this is maybe the most stunning security issue I've seen in a long time. I don't mean to be over-sensationalizing, but I'm very surprised.
I can tell he didn't get his Gouda.
Right.
This weekend, he's cranky.
Yeah, I was about to say, you seem a little crankier than usual, Red Dog.
And they said that it's going to be Tuesday, so I'm going to be out there Tuesday, damn it. But I'm going to stop talking about how good. No, I'm not really not going to do that because it is fantastic and I love it.
How'd you like that band that was out there? Weren't they pretty good?
Yes, I made sure and tip them because, believe me, been there, done that, guys. I told them they need to be, they name themselves the Pike Road Roadhogs. The Pike Road Roadhogs. The Pike Road Hogs is what I thought they ought to call themselves. But like they were some good old blues guys.
They were very talented musicians.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
People were walking around buying stuff and singing. These two little girls that were dancing. They were just having a great time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's just such a great place, and all the products they have are so good.
Well, you know, they've got the Scarecrow contest that is coming up. I don't know. You're an artist type. You make it enter this. $2,000 in cash and prizes in three different categories for a total of $2,000. But have you been out there when they've done the scarecrows? They line them up on the fence there. They're some of the most creative scarecrows I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I might just be able to go in person and win.
There you go. We'll just tack you up to the fence.
That's it, Dan. Roll Tide, go Trump. And the Tigers did pretty good.
They did.
Bama better watch that line. I'm glad I wasn't in the locker room at halftime after all them penalties. I'm sure it was not a pleasant event.
It probably was not. It's you have a good one, Richard.
Thank you.
Yeah, folks, you can. The registration begins on September the 23rd. You can go to the farm market. They've got applications, registration forms at the counter, at the produce counter, or you can go to events at sweetcreekfarmmarket.com and you can get you can register there. But I tell you, it's a lot of fun. Kids really enjoy it. They do the voting on October the 12th. The deadline is October the 5th. Rodney, hang on for me. Coming back to you right after this.
In all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Here it comes, radio's most exciting game for fabulous prizes, the Name Game. Do you have a name? Incredible prizes can be yours just by playing Blue Water Broadcasting's The Name Game.
Winning is simple. You've got a name. Register online at our station website.
Win fantastic prizes such as a sportsman's package, a cruise, a big screen TV, dining experiences, and jewelry.
We'll call out names all week long. Hear your name called? Lucky you. You have the rest of that hour to call in and qualify. Make sure your friends and family are listening for your name, too. It's the Name Game from Blue Water Broadcasting.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
No matter what you are.
Boy, we jumped right into the news, so we didn't even have a chance to talk about what we ate this weekend. Because I ate like crazy. Went down to Wenzel's and had oysters and beer.
See,
did the steak.
You ate better than me. You ate right. And I want to get back on that. But it was such an emotional weekend for me for so many reasons that I...
Because of your grandmother passing?
Yeah, and it was more emotional than I thought. Seeing the whole family was great. And all the short stories shared. But so whenever I feel that way, I usually go like fast food. I just pick out on whatever I can.
Well, we'll get down to eating in the second hour. Let's go to Rodney. Rodney, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Dan and Joey, how are y'all today?
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
That's great. Guys, you know, several years back, I think it was as much as 4 years back, I started reading about Saudi Arabia. And I started reading about how Saudi Arabia was spending millions on top of millions of dollars to fortify its borders. I always wondered why. What was Saudi Arabia's extreme concern about their borders? If you ever look at their borders and how they fortified them, you would think that Saudi Arabia thought that every military in the region would send every vehicle they had toward their country. That's how fortified it is. So, I believe that Saudi Arabia is not going to stand by idle and just let Iran do this. Now, I may be wrong about this, but, Dan, there's one thing about this. In the process of studying some of this stuff, I found out that Saudi Arabia has a cap of $80 a barrel that it must get to stabilize its market for its profit for oil sales. In the last several years, Saudi Arabia has not met those goals and actually started a deficit. So, is this why Saudi Arabia fortified their borders to get ready for when they blow up Iran? That's the big question. The other thing is, Putin and China better thread real softly with this. They better thread very, very softly with this. That's about all I got to say about that right now, Dan. I don't think the U.S. is going over there, but I think we've been strategically positioned here in the United States by a president and his policies for his energy-wise. And now we're starting to see Iran not able to force America to do things. And now it's trying to use leverage in other areas that can be very, very dangerous for Iran. I think, in my opinion, way more dangerous than dealing with America, because America may have more restraint than somebody like Saudi Arabia.
Well, one thing I did not get to with Dr. Sorensen, which is the scenario that Saudi Arabia goes on its own and that we're just backup. And what would that do? And I didn't get into that part of the conversation with him, which could be interesting. In other words, we do support, intelligence, we do backup, AWACS, and things like that, and let them kind of do it and see what happens next.
Yeah. It's going to be a touchy situation. What I'm looking more so right now is Iran has been in checkmate, I think, since the last couple of months ago when I said that, and they remain there today. And China and Russia better tread lightly is all I can tell them. They just better tread lightly. Russia's got enough problems with sanctions on them now, and China and Russia doesn't need the U.S. to unplug completely from them. If they do, they're done.
Well, so this is. Go ahead.
I don't see what the strategy with Putin and China is in that region, but evidently they've already picked their side. So we know where they lie at. They lay in the bed with Iran. So we'll just have to monitor that and see.
Well, we'll know, as they say, in the fullness of time. Ronnie, thanks for a telephone call. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting economic piece of this puzzle. When oil prices go up and the consumer is paying more for gas, there's kind of a finite amount of money that's out there. So if you are adding $50 a month to your gas bill because gas is going up,
right,
what you're doing is you're not buying basically $600 worth of something else, because you're replacing it with gas, because gas is more of a necessity for you to get to work, take the kids to school. But that other $50 may not be a necessity. And it's interesting, because when the oil price stuff was going a little crazy a couple of years ago, I remember reading a great article and IBD talking about that China does not want high oil prices because then the money is going to the oil producers, providers, and not going to China, which is the producer of goods. And they're very, very well aware of that. So you take $600 and multiply it times the number of families here, you're talking millions and billions of dollars. And the a group that gets hurt is China out of that.
Well, and it's almost like China and Russia, I don't know for a fact, but China and Russia are playing this game in the Middle East. Some of it, especially with Russia, sort of poked the U.S. in the eye a little bit and to counter the U.S. presence there. But I think some of it has a lot to do, especially Russia being so reliant on the price of oil and other fossil fuels is probably why they give Iran such a big hug. But it's not like, you know, the old Soviet Union trying to control it, let's be clear.
Well, when Rodney was talking about Saudi Arabia and needing for $85 a barrel of oil, I think he was thinking about Russia with that. Russia has a much harder time getting oil out of the ground than Saudi Arabia. They just go take a stick, punch it in the ground, and oil comes up. It's very cheap for them to get oil out. And it's right now sitting at $65 a barrel.
I think for the sake of all peoples involved in this, whether it's the Persians or the Saudis or whatever's going on, the actual people, not the governments, I hope this Cold War gets resolved without any massive conflict, because I think it'll be a problem for every country in the world, China included, Russia included, as well as the United States and everybody in the Middle East.
Well, whatever we do, we just need to make sure we have the right information and that is factual and correct, and we basically get Mossad and some other folks to add into it and see where they come up without us telling them what we've come up with first to see if it matches. That has always been a problem. News Talk 93.1, Dan Moore Show, will be back after our top of the hour break.
Place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Won't you tell me what you found, girl? Who girl want you? Knock down the old gray wall. Be a part of it all. Nothing to say, nothing to see, nothing to do.
From the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center, this is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. The body of a Florida mother of four has been found, according to police outside Brunswick, Georgia.
Also questioning her husband, 38-year-old Michael Wayne Jones Jr., who already has a warrant out for his arrest for murder back in Florida. The family of 32-year-old Casey